welcome along to this week's assist, sponsored by Free Super Tips. I'm Warren Ashurst, and once again, I'm joined by Mark Langdon and Dan Childs to talk you through all of the UK football action this weekend across the Premier League and the EFL. It's been a busy week, of course, of Champions League football, but the Premier League returns for game week 5. And we'll start off by looking ahead to the big game of the weekend. It's Manchester City against Arsenal. Well, the top two then meet in the Premier League at 4:30 on Sunday at the Etihad Stadium. It promises to be another enthralling clash between the two most likely candidates, you feel, to battle it out for the title. City are around about 4-5 to pick up the victory. Arsenal 7-2 and the draw 13-5. Mark, we'll start with you and we'll start with Manchester City because we've, of course, watched their clash with Inter Milan in midweek. And to be honest with you, I was quite surprised how well Inter did in terms of one frustrating City, but also in the first half in particular, creating some decent opportunities.
Yeah, I think that will worry Pep Guardiola, actually. Not so much that City didn't score and sort of couldn't find a way through, but just that the Inter, sort of on those counter-attacks, were a threat. And I think you've only got to go back to the Brentford game last week, and the same thing happened there. So Guardiola, a man who absolutely loves control and obsessed with kind of stopping the opposition. That's what he says, the possession that he has. He says it's not because, he wants it to be all pretty. He thinks the best way to stop the opposition from scoring is to have the ball. The problem is when they haven't got the ball, they have just looked vulnerable in the last couple of matches. I mean, in terms of like the Champions League longer term, it doesn't matter too much. Inter, one of the harder games in their 8-match schedule. It's only 1 point. They should easily finish in the top 8 still for Man City. But does mean that that they might not finish top, and we don't know yet whether that's going to be important for your future seeding. You do want to finish as high up as possible, but it's only one game, and I'm sure that they'll pick up enough points to stroll through to I was going to say the next phase, but it'll be the next phase after that, won't it, with the new format?
It will indeed. We're talking, of course, before Arsenal's clash with Atalanta in the Champions League on Thursday, Dan. I mean, we've seen with Arsenal so far, I mean, we look back at last season's game at the Etihad, having been thumped the previous season, they draw 0-0. At the time, a lot applaud it, saying, well done, you've taken a point at City and that puts you in a really strong position. And then they end up losing the league and people say, well, maybe they should have gone for it a little bit more at City. Maybe they were too defensive. They've got to try and find that happy medium on Sunday.
They have. I mean, Pete, we always look a lot more clever in hindsight, don't we? I mean, if Arsenal go and, pick up the, City drop a few points and Arsenal, pick up the wins that they need after that. I mean, they did do very well after that, finished the season strongly, had that win at Spurs, didn't they, towards the end of the season. And then all of a sudden, that point looks like a great point. Normally, I think, certainly at this stage of the season, going to Manchester City, you would look at it and Mikel Arteta, I think, would snatch your hand off for a draw. There was, people were talking before the game against Spurs last week that it's a must win for Arsenal to have a chance in the title race. So I can't believe, some of these comments at times, you've just seen in the week that how quick things can change. I mean, we don't know how. It might not be a serious injury for De Bruyne that he's got against Inter, but one big injury to a key player can change everything in terms of a season. So, I think Arsenal, got a good result there last season, and they'll be going there, reasonably confident they can put up a good performance this time as well.
How much, Mark, will that Inter Milan game sort of, I suppose, buoy Arsenal in a way going into this? Will they feel more confident that they can maybe get at City?
I think probably the confidence comes from winning at Spurs last week and also what they did at the Etihad last season. I know Haaland wasn't playing, but they just shut City down. And probably the best team in Europe out of possession. It did feel last week, it was almost like a Jose Mourinho or, for Arsenal fans of a certain age, probably George Graham would have been absolutely delighted. He would have played 4 centre-backs across the back and won it from a set piece, although they would have had the flick on at the near post and someone running around the back rather than it kind of being launched into the middle
Steve,
there. But
Steve Bold, I think, if I remember right.
Yeah, Steve Bold, Keown and Tony Adams, two of those three used to be heavily involved. So I think the confidence comes from the fact that Arsenal, really, I suppose, they believe in what they're doing, that they've seen it can work. The one thing I would say about kind of that must-win attitude that sort of went into last week's game, I mean, that's just what City do to you. Like, they're such an abnormal team and they get such a ridiculously high points tally. It makes everybody else feel like they've got to win every single game. And, yeah, that's not the case. City will drop points at some stage this season. Just got to stay patient. Even in that run in last season when City, eventually went perfect and won the league. There were moments in there, you know, Son goes through one-on-one. If he scores, that's a completely different sort of situation in terms of the title. So I think for Arsenal, it's about staying patient. And in Mikel Arteta, I mean, they've got somebody that is really comfortable doing that. And I think they'll go to the Etihad and try to get a point. I don't see them being particularly adventurous.
We'll get your best bets for this game in a moment. But Dan, final point for the moment on City and Erling Haaland in particular. I mean, there's always the fear, isn't there, that you go too much in the way of making sure that Haaland doesn't score and then they've got numerous other players who can take advantage. But that's something that Arsenal are going to have to address on Sunday.
Absolutely. I mean, every time you think that he can't improve, he seems to set a new bar, a new level. I mean, 9 goals at the moment in the 4 league games. I mean, you just think about that. You used to think that, you know, 20 goals a season could often, you know, win you, you know, go close to win you a golden boot. And he's nearly half the way there already. So, no, it goes without saying, you know, Arsenal will be paying close attention to him this weekend.
Yeah, certainly will be. Mark, let's start with you then. Your best bet for the big game of the weekend, Manchester City-Arsenal.
I mean, it's a big game, Warren. I'm going to go under 2.5 goals for this one. I mean, Arsenal only had 7 shots at Spurs last week. I think it was 9 at Aston Villa in the sort of the previous big away game. So they're not in any hurry to carry a massive forward threat. Mentioned earlier, very patient team. And I expect them to be, you know, really on the defensive here. And in Saliba and Gabriel, they've got 2 aggressive defenders. If anybody is sort of up to stopping Haaland in the Premier League, you'd think it was those 2. And from City's point of view, you know, I don't see them going gung-ho if it's 0-0 after 65 minutes, 70 minutes, because they know what Martinelli and Saka can do on the counter-attack. And it's early on in the season. You don't need to be doing anything silly at this stage. So I know everyone's looking forward to the game and thinks it's going to be a big one. I can see it being quite cagey. And if, you know, one team is to come out on top, probably City, but it might be something like 1-0.
Do you see it in the same way, Dan?
Very similar. I can see a tight game. I can see City just getting the result that they crave. I'm going to go with Man City and under 3.5 goals at 6-4. That's quite a bump up from their odds-on price that they are, you know, just to win the game. Goes along with Mark's, you know, view that it will be low scoring as well. I just think reasons for backing City. Arsenal at Spurs, I mean, you know, defended really, really well. I'm not sure they were up against, a very strong performance from Spurs there against Villa when they won 2-0, gave up quite a few chances before they actually took the lead. The game, you know, you've got to remember as well, it's at the end of a really busy week for them. We're talking before they go to Atalanta. That's far from ideal to play the North London derby, then go to Atalanta in the Champions League and then play City on the Sunday. They've got a day less to prepare. City, yes, De Bruyne looks like he's injured and he's going to be out, but they're getting some big players back as well. Rodri's come back recently. Foden come off the bench against Inter. So they're getting some big players back. I just think they'll have a little bit too much and might get a low-scoring win.
Like you say, Dan, as well, it's 3 home games in a row for City compared to 3 away games for Arsenal, which is kind of not ideal preparation, but it'll be an intriguing encounter. Just to remind you, a 4:30 kickoff at the Etihad for Manchester City against Arsenal on Sunday. Let's turn our attentions now to the rest of the Premier League action. Masses of games to look forward to again on Saturday for the traditionalists. It's certainly one to look forward to. We'll start off with the early kickoff at 12:30, an all-London affair between West Ham and Chelsea. The Hammers are at about 12-5 to claim the victory. 21-20 Chelsea, 14-5 the draw. Mark, let's start with you on this. Of what you've seen of West Ham at the moment, do we still feel that they're a team that are going to have to try and progress a bit quicker maybe than what they are at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they haven't been at I was going to say at their best. We don't know what their best is, but I mean, sort of probably haven't played to what people think their level could be, and they nicked a point at Fulham last week. But I'm going to go for West Ham to win this game. I feel like it could click sooner rather than later. They've definitely got the talent in that final third to hurt Chelsea. Chelsea last week, you know, were under pressure, really under the pump in that first half, weren't they, against Bournemouth? Missed penalty changes the match, but I think horrible atmosphere for Chelsea to deal with. The crowd will be up for it. And this just feels like the type of game where West Ham might be able to raise their levels.
Yeah, will a home advantage make it sort of push towards West Ham, do you think, on this one, Dan?
Yeah, I'm going to go West Ham, draw no bets. I do think they're going to steadily improve, West Ham. And while they're nowhere near right now where I think they could get to, I do think, as I mentioned last week, they've got individuals that can win them games. You think of the likes of Paqueta, Kudus. You know, there's players there that can win a game with a moment of magic. Chelsea, I mean, I picked them to win at Bournemouth last weekend, but I felt quite fortunate really watching the game. Bournemouth, had lots of opportunities apart from the missed penalty. Still not completely convinced by Chelsea at the moment. They seem to, throw in one great performance and then a not so good one the next week. So you kind of don't really know what you're going to get from them. A tight game, close game, but at the prices for me, West Ham draw no bet looks worth a selection.
Well, let's move on to the 3 o'clock games now on Saturday. No fewer than six to look forward to. And we'll start off with a Midlands derby at Villa Park. Aston Villa against Wolves. Villa fresh from that Champions League win over Young Boys in midweek. A 4-7 to pick up the victory here. It's 17-4 Wolves and the draw 16-5. Impressive way to get underway in the Champions League, Mark. Can they build on that, Villa?
Yeah, I think they can. I mean, the first 20 minutes were tricky on that artificial pitch, but once they got the opening goal, it was pretty comfortable after that for them. And what I liked about them was when Watkins went off, if anything, they looked a bigger threat with Duran, who, I don't think I appreciated how good he could turn out to be. Wolves are struggling at the moment. I'm going to go for Aston Villa to win and over 1.5 goals.
Are you with Villa here as well, Dan?
Yes, got similar thoughts on the game. Going to go with Villa to win and both teams to score. I just think on the been really impressed with Villa, as Mark mentioned, that game on the artificial pitch, against Young Boys. There's quite a few Premier League teams. Man United have lost their Spurs, a long time ago, lost there. Have struggled to cope with those with that surface. Villa, I thought, handled it really, really well. They've been excellent this season, even in the only points that they've dropped, the 2-0 loss to Arsenal, had the better chances really before Arsenal took the lead. I just think with Wolves, same old story for them really. They play some nice football in the middle of the pitch, but look like they're lacking a bit of a cutting edge up front and concede far too many goals. Second highest amount of goals conceded in the Premier League so far. So I think Villa look like a team that might have to outscore teams a bit more this year than rely on defending. I think since Louise has gone, the back four gets a bit less protection, but I think they're good at outscoring teams and they will do it here.
Fulham take on Newcastle at 3 o'clock on Saturday at Craven Cottage. The home side 15-8, crashed out, of course, of the EFL Cup in midweek. Newcastle 6-4 and the draw 12-5. Mark, I've lost count of how many times Newcastle recently. I've sat here thinking they've not played particularly well and yet they've come away with a victory.
I thought you were going to say you lost count of that penalty shootout for Fulham.
Against
Preston. Was it 16-15, 15-14 in the end? I can't remember. I mean, you're a commentator, Warren. How do you commentate? Like, how many different times can you sort of describe a penalty going in? The guy on Sky seems to really struggle with that.
Well, funnily enough, I actually spoke to the guy who was commentating on it, and he said that he just kept on saying, it's another one in, it's another one in. It literally got to that stage where, I mean, the two goalkeepers arguably hit the two best penalties, I'd say, over the course of the shootout as well. But I just wonder how much that might impact on Fulham, because they went a long way in the EFL Cup last year. Marco Silva was keen, he said, in the run-up to it, to go far again. He feels it would help the team, and now they've crashed out to lower league opposition.
Yeah, they have done. I tend not to read a huge amount into it, purely because I think that you are more vulnerable in this 90 minutes, no extra time. It does bring more penalties into play, doesn't it? And, you know, they didn't lose the game. And I think that Fulham can be settled, you know, reasonably settled and confident and happy with the way that they've played so far. Deserved to beat West Ham last week. We were pegged back by that last gasp Danny Ings goal. But I mean, if they carry on playing like that, there'll be a big threat, particularly at home. And yeah, I agree what you said about Newcastle. Not sure how they've got the points tally they've got at the moment. Feels unsustainable. Fulham, draw no bet for me.
Newcastle third in the table, Dan, at the moment. And as I say, not playing particularly well, you have to say.
Yeah, I mean, they say it's a sign of a good team, don't they? That's one of the most ridiculous comments, that, you know, it's a sign of a good team if you don't play well and you win. As Mark says, it can happen for the short term. I've been, you know, backing them a couple of times this season, but I just think that the way they're playing, they're going to get chinned sooner or later. I think it could well happen this weekend. Fulham, you know, look a strong side this season. Certainly very strong at home. Got 4 points. Probably should have six from their home games already. And I think they're the likely winners here. So odds against draw, no bet, does it for me.
I refuse in October, even as we are in September at the moment, to talk about six-point encounters. But I tell you what, Leicester against Everton has the look of that on Saturday afternoon. Leicester 8-5 with the bookies at the moment. 17-10 Everton and 12-5 the draw. I just don't know where to start with Everton at the moment, Mark, because they just seem to be finding new ways to lose games.
Yeah, Southampton in the cup in midweek, Ashley Young penalty. I didn't realise it'd been saved at first. I thought he just hit the post, but he sort of blasted it, didn't he? The keeper, it flicked off keeper and then hit the post. Like, it's not happening for them. But I think they can take more, if not belief, then certainly credit for the way that they started at Aston Villa. You know, they were obviously well on top against Bournemouth. I'm going to sort of cross my fingers, close my eyes and back Everton, draw no bet here. I'm not mad on Leicester, and I just feel like sooner rather than later, a Dyche team has to at least tighten up defensively. Yeah. And if they can, and that's normally the easy bit, the hard bit, scoring goals, particularly for Everton, they're scoring goals. So I'll sort of back Dyche to get it right. And, you know, I'm going before Dan. I think he likes Everton as well, so I hope I don't nick all of what he wanted to say. But quite a big difference between going to Villa Park and also going to Leicester.
Well, I wonder whether Sean Dyche might go with Mark's plan of closing his eyes and keeping his fingers crossed, because nothing else seems to have worked so far. But Dan, you alluded to it last week. You fancied them to get something at Villa. And those of those who backed Everton with some bookmakers would have received the money, because they'd have gone two goals up, of course, in that game. Is it finally going to be their day this weekend?
Everton fans are going to be absolutely devastated, because I'll back them to beat Bournemouth and then I've backed them to get a result at Villa. You know, neither happened, and I'm going to back them to win this game at Leicester on the draw no bet. I don't actually think they're playing that badly the last couple of games. Even in the cup game against Southampton, I thought they created the better chances. Southampton had a lot of possession. I watched the game, and Everton played some pretty good stuff. And the game at Villa as well, they could easily have gone 3-1 up, had a chance as well at 3-2 down to equalise. They've had some good, you know, played some good football in the game. And I do think they're a better side than Leicester. So, no, I think Leicester, you know, got a couple of points at the moment from the four games, which they'll be quite happy with, I think. But I think Everton will finish higher, you know, by the end of the season. So I'm going to take them to win the game.
Everton's Merseyside rivals Liverpool are also in action at 3 o'clock on Saturday as they play host to Bournemouth at Anfield. The Reds are around about 3-10. It's 17-2 Bournemouth. The draw around about 21-4. I watched the game Liverpool-Nottingham Forest last week, Mark, and the difference between that and a midweek win over AC Milan was streaked apart. In fact, I think Arne Slot said it was ridiculous that they lost the game last weekend, considering how well they played at the San Siro. They're going to need another response this week, because Bournemouth are going to make it difficult for them.
I thought they were brilliant, actually. Absolutely outstanding at San Siro. The way they came back from one down, some of their football was right out the top draw. I'm going to go for Liverpool to win this game and over 2.5. Bournemouth lost away to all of the top six last season. Five of those matches had over 2.5 goals in it. And, yeah, I just think that they're vulnerable, Bournemouth, because they will have a go, and that's probably what Liverpool want.
Are you on the same wavelength here, Dan?
No, a little bit different. Going to go Liverpool and under 3.5. So no worries there. If they win 2-1 or 3-0, then you get paid out both wages. But I think they're going to be keen to right what they probably see as the wrongs of that Nottingham Forest defeat. Don't think they played that well in that game, but clearly, you know, massively improved against Milan. Generally, they've had, you know, quite a few, you know, strong performances this season. Excellent second half at Ipswich, you know, the 3-0 win at Manchester United. Mm. Bournemouth, I was quite impressed with them against Chelsea. I don't see them getting hammered, but I think Liverpool certainly do enough to win.
Two teams, of course, newly promoted to the Premier League, meet at St Mary's at 3 o'clock. It's Southampton against Ipswich. Saints 5-4 to pick up their first victory of the season. It's 5-2 the draw. Ipswich 11-5. Ipswich did the double over Southampton last season. Mark, is it going to be a similar story this time around?
That goal that they scored right at the end of the game at Portman Road was one of the most joyous for myself in the whole season. So, yeah, I certainly remember that one. I'm going to go for a draw. I won't be having a bet myself in this game. I'm struggling to work it out, but I don't think there's much between the two teams. There wasn't last season. I think Southampton need to stop the rot in terms of the Premier League. And I think Kieran McKenna would take a point away from home in, you know, just about any Premier League game, even one against a relegation rival like this. And, you know, might be able to build on what they got against Brighton last week.
Yeah, I suppose a point, Dan, wouldn't be the worst for either team.
No, but I actually think Ipswich will be looking at this and thinking, you know, if you're going to need to pick up a few away wins at some stage in the season, and this is one, I think they'll be thinking, we've got a great chance here. I think they're a more rounded team, actually, than Southampton. I think they're more capable of picking results up in different ways, playing the possession base when they need to and playing on the counter-attack when they need to. I think Southampton are much more dogmatic. I think the manager, I think his style would be well suited to a team maybe with a bigger Premier League budget. I think Southampton, or even the game against Everton, they were getting caught out and conceding, you know, good chances far too easily in the EFL Cup tie. And I just think Ipswich will find a way to pick them off and get the 3 points.
Well, the sixth and final 3 o'clock game on Saturday is Tottenham against Brentford, and Spurs, fresh from an EFL Cup victory in midweek, are 11-20 to claim the victory. Brentford 9-2, and they're set to be without Johan Visser for a couple of months now through injury. 7-2 the draw. Just how important is that Visser injury going to be to Brentford going forward, Mark?
Yeah, well, it is, because they've already, I've forgotten that the summer signing from, is it Belgium's already out, isn't he? And Tony's gone. So, yeah. And Bueno's going to have to carry just most of that attacking threat now. So, yeah, it's definitely a blow. Visser wouldn't have been first choice, I think, for sort of when Thomas Frank was working on it in the summer and thinking about what he might like to do. He wasn't first choice when Tony was around either, but always seems to, you know, be a good squad player and has actually developed into more than that, and, you know, offers Brentford that counter-attacking threat, which is what they rely upon away from home. I'm going to go for Brentford to avoid defeat, though, in this game against Tottenham. Just feel like there's a nervousness around Spurs at the moment that Brentford will look to play upon. Set pieces are where Brentford are strong as well. So I know Dan was ranting about Tottenham's performance. We haven't got 20 minutes to go to let him on the on the full leash of what he saw against Coventry, despite the win. But I know, Dan, you don't fancy Tottenham either.
No, I'm one of these nervous people that you're talking about going into this game. I scare the hell out of me, Spurs, at the moment. The Coventry game. I know they made a lot of changes, but so did Coventry. And you know, so lucky to get through that match. I thought we were poor against Arsenal as well. The stats don't tell the story there. I think it was 15-7 for Spurs, and Spurs had 60-odd% possession, but they looked like they could have played all night and not scored. I just think that Brentford, in this, the way that Spurs are at the moment, maybe lacking a bit of confidence despite that win at Coventry. They're going to go and they'll sit and defend with a low block, wait for their moments. I get it that without Visser, there's less of a counter-attack threat, but I think there's enough for them to pick a result up. I think the draw looks overpriced. That's what I'm going to go for.
Funny enough, I looked at the stats this week and saw that Tottenham have got the biggest amount of possession percentage throughout the Premier League. 67% they're averaging in games so far. But if you can't put that ball in the back of the net, then there's no good having all of that possession. 5:30 kickoff on Saturday. Crystal Palace against Manchester United. Palace around about 17-10 to pick up the victory. Manchester United 29-20. And the draw is 11-4. United have won back-to-back games, Mark. 10 goals, no game goals conceded. Are we seeing a change in fortunes?
I wouldn't necessarily go that far, but I do like them in this game, and I'm going to carry my anti-Palace bias with me for a while yet. So I know Dan likes United as well, so I'll let him talk about why he fancies United. I'm going to say, from Crystal Palace's point of view, this is a team that needed a late comeback against Leicester. They were outplayed by Chelsea and definitely should have lost that game. They lost at Brentford, who were definitely not firing on all cylinders, and were beaten at home by West Ham. So they've made progress in the Cup, I'm sure their fans will be happy about, because they'll see that as a target. Hodgson used to just chuck the Cup competitions. I think Glasner's more interested in that. I'm just not sure yet that they're kind of where they want to be in terms of Premier League performances. So I'm going to go Man United draw, no bet.
And you fancy Erik ten Hag's man as well, Dan?
Yeah, I'm just going to go for them to win the game. I'm not going to wax lyrical about United. I actually think they've probably not improved a great deal since last season, if at all. But I just think that the market's view of them is even dimmer than mine. They seem to be going off at some quite big prices against ordinary teams. I mean, the games that they've been favourites for this season, against Southampton and against Fulham, they have won them both, not conceded a goal. So I just think I agree with Mark about Palace, that they've been quite an ordinary start to the season for them. They're missing Elise massively. So, for me, United to win.
Well, there's just one more other Premier League game to look at, because we've already discussed the big one, of course, on Sunday, City against Arsenal. But the 2 o'clock kickoff is at the Amex Stadium, Brighton versus Nottingham Forest. Two teams unbeaten still, of course, this campaign. Brighton around 3-4 to pick up the win. Forest 15-4, and it's 11-4 the draw. Ordinarily, you might say that home advantage might give Brighton a slight edge here, Mark. Forest, though, will be buoyed by their win at Anfield last week. Imagine confidence is high in their camp.
Yeah, I imagine it is. I'm going to go. It might not be the greatest Sunday ever. I've already gone under 2.5 at the Etihad. I'm going under 2.5 here as well. I mean, what Forest are doing exceptionally well is, defending. Only an XG against a 2.9 so far this season. So, I mean, they're going to make it difficult for Brighton. And actually, overall, their expected goals for and against Forest is coming in under 8 at the moment. So Brighton couldn't break down Ipswich last week. Forest probably do that even better. So, yeah, under 2.5.
I suppose as well, Brighton did have a midweek cup game and Forest have had the whole week to prepare. How are you looking at this one, Dan?
Yeah, I wouldn't read too much into that, because Brighton, made quite a lot of changes, for the cup game. But I do think Forest, they need to be given a bit more respect, I think, by the markets. That win at Liverpool was a superb performance. Didn't concede that many clear cut chances. Carried a threat. The goal they scored on the break was a fantastic goal. They also, I've mentioned in previous weeks, there is a threat from them from set pieces as well. Milenkovic, Chris Wood in the air, the delivery from Ward-Prowse when he's on the pitch. And Brighton have, for a while, sometimes struggled against teams that go with a low block, which Forest almost certainly will do under Nuno. So now I can see Forest getting at least a point. So that's what I'm going to say. Forest or draw, double chance.
OK, well, that's the guys' thoughts then on the Premier League action this weekend. Up next is the EFL. So we'll start our look at the EFL action this weekend with a match in focus. And it's a big game in League Two, Notts County against Gillingham at Meadow Lane. A 3 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. I'll run you through the prices in a moment in terms of these two. But they are the top two in the division. And at the moment, Dan, you have to say that both of them will fancy their chances of going up in what looks like certainly a more wide open League Two than it was last season.
It does. I think that Notts County's form is a bit more sustainable than Gillingham, and I just look at, you know, they're creating lots of chances, scoring lots of goals. I fancy them to win this game. People talk about them losing Macaulay Langstaff, you know, who's been their star man for a couple of seasons, but they look a better, more rounded team this season. Lots of goal threat. Probably got four of the best attacking players in the division. In your Alisson, Jatta, they signed last January. David McGoldrick, Jody Jones, Dan Crowley, attacking midfielder, I think started off his career at Arsenal. But Gillingham, you know, have been piled up a lot of points, but looking at their performances, and I'm not sure they've been that impressive. The last away game, they went to Doncaster, lost 1-0. Barely laid a glove on Doncaster in that game. This away game looks equally as tough to me. So Notts County to win.
Yeah, goals seem to be a problem for Gillingham at the moment. County are 10-11 to pick up the victory. It's 11-4 the draw, and the Gills are 13-5. We're going to turn our attentions to Dan's EFL selections now for the weekend. Dan, which are your three EFL bets for us to follow?
I'm going to start off with in the Championship of Luton at home to Sheffield Wednesday, shade of odds on. I feel that Luton, when you've come down and there's a bit of a relegation hangover, when you've had that bad result they had at home to Burnley, the 4-1 defeat, wasn't really a 4-1 game, but the mood around the club just stays really low, and they've had a few bad results off the back of that. So then go to Millwall last week, a tough place to go and get a result and dig out a 1-0 win. I was kind of waiting for Luton to get that first win, because I think they're a much better side than their points tally shows. And now I think they're going to kick on. They'll throw a lot of balls into the box against Sheffield Wednesday. Sheffield Wednesday have been really poor in some recent away games, lost 3-0. Away to Millwall in a recent away game. So Luton, I think, will have too much for them and get the 3 points. Going to follow on from that into League One. Going to go with Charlton to win at home to Blackpool. Blackpool, Steve Bruce has gone in there, got off to a decent start with a 2-1 win at home to Exeter. Blackpool have struggled, though, at the start of the season, and Charlton are third in the league, doing really, really well under Nathan Jones. Had some excellent 7 points from 9 at home, a 2-1 win at home to Bolton in there, you know, a very good performance. So Charlton odds against, to me, looks a really strong bet there. Going to follow on with sticking in League One, Leighton Orient, not to lose. So Leighton Orient will draw double chance away to Stockport. Stockport newly promoted, started really, really well. Still undefeated at the moment, but performance is starting to tail off a little bit for them. 1-1 draw at Crawley last weekend, looked like a fair result. Leighton Orient have had a really, really tough start on the fixtures. Got their first win last weekend, a 1-0 win away to Reading. Deserved winner away to a decent side. I actually think Leighton Orient, by the end of the season, could well finish above Stockport. So, you know, comfortable odds against to get anything at Stockport looks a really big price to me.
Okay, so Luton, Charlton and Leighton Orient are the suggestions for Dan in the EFL this weekend. Mark's your turn now. We're going to turn our attentions to the Bet Builder and the Prop Shop. Let's start off with the three legs of the Bet Builder.
Yeah, so I think we have to go for this Man City versus Arsenal game. It's the one that most people are going to be watching. Going to start with Man City to have most corners in the match. I know Arsenal are very good when they get a corner at scoring them, but they did have fewer flag kicks than both Tottenham and Aston Villa in those two difficult away matches. And City were 7-4 winners on the corner count last season at the Etihad. And I think that plays into the fact that I'm expecting it to be quite a tight game. And that means City, probably the team doing most of the pushing. I'm going to go both teams to score, no. Because I do think that once one team gets in front, it's going to be really difficult for the other ones to kind of get back into the game, which is why the first goal could be absolutely huge in that game. Worth bearing in mind, Arsenal only had 27% possession when they went to the Etihad last season, but they really didn't care. They just wanted to sort of leave there with a clean sheet. So we've got City to have most corners. No in the both teams to score market. I know he's a doubt at the moment, but I'm going to go for Kevin De Bruyne to have a shot on target. If he does play, he's likely to be a big threat because Arsenal presumably will defend deep. I think that means, you know, shooting from range is an option. He's had at least a shot in three of his last four matches on target. The one thing I would say, if he doesn't play, maybe look at Rodri, because I do think that Arsenal will be prepared to give up sort of shots from range, and City might get frustrated. So that's the way we're going to play that. And then outside of the bet builder, the one I like in terms of the player prop this week is, I'm sorry, Nicholas Jackson. We're going for him again, over 2.5 shots for Jackson. If you have a look at his last three matches, three shots, six shots. So he's definitely somebody that has a lot of attempts at goal. And if this has got to be a difficult game for Chelsea at West Ham, they'll be pushing for a lot of the game. So, yeah, I'm going to go for Jackson to have over 2.5 shots.
I think it must be a flip-up between Nicholas Jackson and Darwin Núñez as to who likes to shoot the most from in and around the penalty area.
Imagine if they played up front together. I like it. Yeah. There'd be no combination play, would there?
You'd need a second ball just to, for them to. So, yeah, I think that's an interesting selection for Mark's prop shop and the bet builder. We're going to turn our attentions to the assist now. Dan's already mentioned it. Apologies, I let the team down last week. Lake Norian beat Reading, of course, after Mark and Dan had tipped up Villa and Manchester United. But we're going to try again this week with the assist treble. Mark, we'll start with you. What's your selection?
I'm going to go for Aston Villa again. Why change a winning formula? I think Wolves are massively missing Kilman defensively. And if you're giving up the amount of goals that they are, it becomes very difficult to get even a draw in matches. And Villa, so strong going forward, clever on set pieces. Yeah, fancy them to justify their odds on favouritism.
Are you sticking with the Premier League, Dan, as well?
No, I'm going to do the Championship. Going to go with Luton to win at home to Sheffield Wednesday. Both on 4 points at the moment, but I think they're going in different directions. Luton, I think, are going to kick on after that 1-0 win at Millwall. Sheffield Wednesday have only picked up a point since that 4-0 win at home to Plymouth on the opening day of the season. So conceding a lot of goals, I think they're going to struggle to defend against Luton's direct tactics.
I'm going to go in the Championship as well, and I'm going with Sheffield United at around about 3-5 to beat Derby. Blades look to be back on track now after a bit of a frustrating spell. They beat Watford and Hull without conceding a goal in the last two games. Derby have had a better start to the season than many expected, but they have lost all three away games, if you include the EFL Cup tie at Barrow, which they lost on penalties as well. So away from home, not quite as strong as they are at home. And I think Sheffield United at Bramall Lane will pick up the 3 points. So just to remind you, Aston Villa, Luton and Sheffield United are the treble for this week's assist. Let's finish off then with Mark and Dan's naps for the week. Mark, we'll start with you.
I'm going to go for Man United away to Crystal Palace. Draw, no bet. I think United are being priced up on kind of them, what they were last season, which was a shambles for a large part of it. I don't think they're as bad as that now. I know they've still got to prove the fact that they're, a top three, top four team, but they're being priced up really as if they're still as bad as last season. I think De Ligt improves them defensively, Mazraoui at right back as well. The injuries that they had have kind of cleared up. Rashford is more confident, and I think he's a streaky striker, isn't he? So the fact that he's back among the goals, I think, can only be a good thing for Manchester United. I'm not saying that they're this perfect team and can suddenly become sort of top three or anything like that, but they are being priced up as if they're, sort of not maybe even a sort of one of the big six anymore. And I think that's wrong, and I'm going to go for Man United draw, no bet.
And Dan, what's your nap this week?
Lake Norwich or draw double chance away to Stockport. Lake Norwich, you look at their start, they've already played three of the promotion favourites, Bolton, Birmingham and Charlton had, narrow defeats in all of those. Narrow defeats they've had there against Birmingham and against Charlton. I just think they'll get a result here against Stockport, who are tailing off a little bit, and I think they'll finish below Lake Norwich by the end of the season.
Okay, thanks very much to Mark and Dan, as ever, for their insights into this week's Premier League and EFL action. Don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and comment. And we should remind you that if you like your golf and your golf betting, then don't miss the Sweet Spot with Steve Palmer every Tuesday on the Racing Post YouTube channel. We'll be back next Thursday with the assist. Until then, enjoy all your weekend football and please remember to gamble responsibly.